Wholesalers, welcome to another episode of Wholesaler Masterminds Radio, brought to you today and, well, almost every day by Brotherhood of the Bag, a wholesaler's handbook. Jump out to Amazon.com, pick up a copy for your Kindle, or to hold it in your hot hands. Wholesalers, today we want to talk about accountability. I brought an accountability expert on the line, and he's no stranger to Wholesaler Masterminds Radio. As a matter of fact, 3 years ago, we had Sam on the line to talk to us about working with centers of influence. Today he's back to have some discussion with us about his book, and more importantly than the book itself, the principles that it embodies of No More Excuses, the five accountabilities for personal and organizational growth. Sam's an entrepreneur, a business expert, an international author, and if you watch TV, if you've listened to radio, he's been interviewed on 450 different stations. He's been with Donnie Deutsch on The Big Idea. He's authored 10 books. He has the Accountability Academy, and his latest offering is Accountability Magazine, which is available at the iTunes store. Sam Silverstein, may I welcome you to Wholesaler Masterminds Radio.
Hey, Rob. It's an honor to be here today.
Thank you so much. So what we want to do is we're going to do a little skipping like a pebble across the surface of No More Excuses, talk a little bit about those five accountabilities for personal and organizational growth, and then we're going to roll up our sleeves and get a little dirty in it all for two of the very specific accountabilities. So the first one says, do the right things. Tell us a little bit about that, if you would, please.
Well, this focuses on actually two areas. One, of course, we need to morally do the right things consistently. But, you know, a lot of times we know what we should do, but when we make the decision, we don't listen to that little voice inside of us. And so it's really simple. In any challenging moment, in any point in time when you have to make a decision, just ask yourself the question, what's the right thing to do? And then do it. And more times than not, it doesn't matter whether it costs you money to do the right thing, but you're going to get the result that you want over time. And that's the key, is we have to chase results, not money. When we just chase money, we tend to make bad choices and decisions. The flip side of it is, real simply, if it's your goal, your mission, what I call strategic intent, is then what are those right things that when repeated consistently and executed consistently well, will take you to that final goal? So knowing what it is that you want to achieve, and then what do you need to do weekly or monthly or even daily sometimes that you need to do well that's going to help you achieve your goal. That's doing the right things consistently.
So doing the right thing. So it's rectitude we're talking about. It's knowing inside. It's knowing that voice. And you know, wholesalers, I've talked about that in the past too, is that notion of if you just listen to what's going on in your heart and your head, you probably come out with the right answer about the right thing to do. Isn't that what you're talking about, Sam?
Well, that's exactly it. And in financial services, sometimes it's easy to go astray because we look at numbers. I had an advisor recently that actually was working with my daughter, and she instructed him to move some funds from cash into securities. And 6 months later, he hadn't done it, and he just missed it. He dropped the ball, whatever happened. So he moved it, and then he calculated what the return she was getting in where the money was, what she would have gotten if he'd moved it 6 months ago, and then he credited her account for the dollar amount that she missed out on. That's the right thing to do. And when you do something like that, it protects the relationship. It builds on who you are as an individual, and it just speaks volumes.
I couldn't agree more. All right, so here's what we're going to do. Let's skip two and three because we're going to come back there. We'll leave everybody in crazy suspense. Let's go to four.
Right.
Establishing the right expectations. Give us a quick tour of that, please.
Expectations are key. Expectations are key because expectations drive actions. Actions determine results. So we need to establish the right expectations. That means that we need to understand what is reasonable. And then we need to communicate that to everyone involved. So when you're providing a service to someone, they need to know or have the expectation of how that service is going to be delivered. And you need to have the expectation from them of what they're looking for. Because if you and I set good expectations, communicate with each other, then we're going to deliver for each other. I'm going to be accountable to you. You're going to be accountable to me.
Okay, and then the fifth one, and you've only heard three, we're going to go back to the other two wholesalers, contributing to your relationships.
Well, Rob, this is just key because, you know, if you think about everything in your life that you've achieved, that you're proud of, and anyone listening can do the same, you know, I'd bet any amount of money that nothing was done in a vacuum, that there was always a relationship, one or more, that someone introduced you, someone inspired you, someone taught you, someone did it with you. And so relationships are key in any business, and we tend to take them for granted. And we need to be contributing to those relationships. We need to be making a difference for people in their lives. We need to be serving. We need to be helping others achieve their goals. And in doing all of that, we will be automatically taken care of in the process.
So let's roll up our sleeves a little bit. Let's go to what is identified in the book as the second accountability, managing your space. Let's do a little bit deeper dive there, please, Sam. What do we mean by that?
Well, managing your space says this. It says, first of all, people only grow into a vacuum. That only when there is a void can we as individuals grow. And we are living in a time where everything is just jammed in. You know, we're covered up with email. And it's not just when you're sitting at your desk because it's coming through on your phone and it's just attacking us from all over. We need to learn how to eliminate things so that we can create that space for growth. And that's as an individual. Organizationally, we need to look at the systems that we're using, and we need to question those systems and decide which systems can we eliminate. You know, many times we've taken manual systems and we've automated them with the computer, but that doesn't mean that today is the best system. It's built on old technology. Maybe there's a better way of doing things. And so we need to take the time to evaluate the systems in our organization, the systems that we use individually, and then say, hey, are we just doing this because we've always done it this way? Or is this the most effective way? Does it provide the greatest level of service to those people that we're serving? We have to take the time to analyze that. And so it's not just taking the time to look at the systems in the organization, but it's taking the time to look at what you're doing as an individual and then determining what can you eliminate, what doesn't need to be done, what could be delegated to create space for something new that's going to deliver greater value, greater service, and ultimately hit the bottom line.
You know, wholesalers, let me give you one idea along what Sam said, because when I work with my coaching clients, we talk about it frequently, and that is, and Sam, I know you're going to agree, it's right here in this wheelhouse of your space, and that is, you know, wholesalers, take your annual income, which is substantial, and take a look at it on an hourly basis, which is substantial, and then figure out how much menial minutia are you doing in the course of your day that you should be outsourcing to someone who is equipped and paid commensurate with that kind of work so that you can free up that space. Is that an accurate example of what we're talking about, Sam?
That's right on target. And, you know, I have my coach, and my coach works with me looking at what my unique abilities are and wants me to focus strictly in those areas and then delegate and outsource absolutely everything else. It's not just, you don't just do it because you can do it. You do it because you're uniquely great at it. And if you focus just on that and then eliminate everything else, that's going to create more time to either do more of what you're uniquely great at or to stop and think of other things that can be actually accomplished within your organization.
Wholesalers, do you hear what Sam said? He said uniquely great. You know, you're uniquely great at putting your cheeks in guest chairs and having conversations with financial advisors about your product. That's your unique greatness. So if you've got all this other stuff clogging up your pipes, you got to figure out how to get rid of it. Sam, let's go to this other one. Let's talk about managing the process. What do we mean there? Because I know I have one definition of process, but I suspect that yours may be a little different. Tell me about it, please.
Well, this is something that in the book we talk about half the equation, but there's actually two sides to this story. One, in managing the process, it states this. Even if you know what your strategic intent is, your mission and your goal, and even if you're doing the right things consistently, which, you know, you're tactically on track, you're having the meetings you're supposed to be having, you're having the conversations you're supposed to be having, you're engaged in those events, we're going to run into challenges along the way. We're going to find locked doors. We're going to find obstacles. There's things that are beyond our control. The question is, what happens at that moment? Do we throw our hands up and say, well, I tried? Or do we use persistence and creativity to find another way to get the desired result? Maybe we don't hit the bullseye, but we're really close. And I find that really high achievers are those individuals that are just passionate about achieving what they're trying to achieve, and they find a way to make it happen. They might have to pick the lock. They might have to kick the door down. They might have to go rent a bulldozer to knock it down. But they find a way. They open the door. They get what it is they want within the realm of doing the right thing. The flip side to this, managing the process, is totally different. And that is when you look at a situation where you want a certain desired result and you actually design a process that's going to allow you to get to that desired result. And when you design the right process and you follow it over and over again and you actually manage the flow of information, the flow of emotions, the flow of what's happening, then amazing things happen. One of the stories I tell is I was in Santa Fe, and there's a lot of artist galleries out in Santa Fe. I went with my wife, and we put this trip together, and we said, you know, our strategic intent was we weren't going to spend any extra money on this trip. We weren't buying souvenirs. We just wanted to go and enjoy the weekend. And we're walking down Canyon Road, which is about a mile long, and all the homes on both sides have been converted to galleries. And we go into this one gallery, and we walk through and see these beautiful watercolors. And before we could leave, a woman behind the counter said, the artist is in today. Would you like to meet her? And we said, sure. And so the artist came over and introduced herself, and we shook hands. Her name is Phyllis Kapp, and she told us all about her work. And then she asked us a question. She said, just out of curiosity, which was your favorite painting? And Renee and I had commented about this one over the mantle and the fireplace in this one room. And so she said, let's go look at that. And she literally took us by the hand, and we walked in. And then she told us all about this painting and the reason it was painted, the time of day, and it was just this beautiful. And then she paused and she looked and she said, just out of curiosity, where in your house do you imagine this painting hanging? Well, obviously, you know, I'm thinking run. Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, what has to happen? What do I have to imagine doing before I can imagine hanging it? You know, I've got to buy that sucker, right? So we both responded, well, it probably look good in our family room. And it does. I mean, so here's a perfect example. Phyllis managed the process. She asked meaningful questions. She engaged us in conversation. She got us to talk about how we would use her, in this case, product, how we would enjoy it, where we would enjoy it. And so the final conclusion of the conversation was, which credit card are we putting it on? I mean, it was amazing. And now we love this picture, and we love Phyllis, and it was a wonderful experience. But she managed the process. And how many times do we go into a store where they say, may I help you? And we simply, what do we say?
Oh, just browsing.
Exactly. You know, it's like we were all raised by the same parents.
Yeah.
Just browsing and say, okay, well, if I can be of service, let me know. And then that's it. And they think that they've fulfilled their responsibility, that they've done their job. How many times, I don't know about you, I get, you know, I'll call somebody wanting some information. And then when I come into the office in the morning, there'll be a message that was left at 4:00 in the morning or at 8:30 the evening before. Hey, I'm returning the call, wanted to get you the information you're looking for. You know, well, did you expect to catch me in? Did you really expect to engage me in conversation at 8:30 at night or 4:00 in the morning? No. They're just going through some steps and then feeling like they've fulfilled their responsibility. When you're in charge of the process, when you own the process, when you manage the process, you're not leaving your success up to someone else. You're making sure it gets done, and inevitably it does.
Sam, I certainly appreciate your insights, and I do, you know, wholesalers, if you happen to know Phyllis Kapp in Santa Fe, because she used to work for one of your firms, if she's a former wholesaler, send us a note. Let us know, because it sounds like she might have been, because it sounds like she's awfully good at what she does in sales, Sam. I thank you for joining us on Wholesaler Masterminds Radio, and let's jot down 3 years from this date when we can reconvene. Would that be okay with you?
Well, you know, we have a new book coming out in the spring, so hopefully we can get to it before 3 years.
You gave me a brief summary of it, and considering it has its storyline, right, financial services, I suspect you're more than welcome back because we enjoy having you. Sam, thank you so much.
It's my pleasure, and anybody that wants more information can hit us at samsilverstein.com, and we'd love to engage any of your listeners as well and be of value.
Absolutely. And wholesalers, you know, if you go out to the website, we'll link up Sam's site, we'll link up the book. There'll be no shortage of ways to get in touch with him. And wholesalers, join us again next time for another episode of Wholesaler Masterminds Radio.